Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. We'll pick up in verse 25. The title of the message is Refuse Not to Hear Christ When He Speaks. Refuse not to hear Christ when He speaks. That's what it's about. Now, this epistle started out with God speaking. It says God has spoken in times past by the prophets to the fathers. He has spoken in different ways, different manners. He spoke to them by the prophets. He spoke to them in that old covenant of works. He spoke to them in the types and the pictures. God spoke to them. But now He speaks to us in His Son. In His Son and by His Son. When the gospel is preached, Christ is speaking. Christ is speaking. When the gospel is preached, Christ is speaking. When His word is read, Christ is speaking. And it says, he who speaks from heaven, and that's because He is now in heaven. That's where our Lord speaks, and He speaks from heaven. And that being so, how much ought we to listen? This is not an earthly message that men have come up with. This is from heaven. The good news is from heaven. God has sent it to us. God has sent it to Bethel Baptist Church in Spring Lake, North Carolina. God has sent the gospel here. Christ has been speaking here for a number of years. Now, the message and the issue is here is that when the Lord speaks, don't refuse to hear. Listen. Listen. You know, our Lord speaks, and He speaks in heaven. He intercedes for us now, even in heaven. He speaks in heaven. He intercedes for us. And then Christ speaks from heaven. In Acts 26:14, Paul is rehearsing, I think it's before Agrippa, what happened to him on the road to Damascus. He says, "And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks." Our Lord is speaking. He's speaking at that time to Saul of Tarsus, and He's speaking from heaven where He reigns, where He sits on the throne, where He rules over all. That's where He's speaking from. It says in Matthew 3:17, "And lo, a voice from heaven spoke, saying," this is God the Father speaking, "This is My beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." So we cannot say we've not heard from God. We cannot say we've not heard from Christ, for He's speaking. Just in reading this tonight, the Lord is speaking. He's speaking. Now our Lord, He speaks in different ways. He speaks in creation. It says in Psalm 19, verse 1 and 2, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech." Night unto night showeth knowledge. You know, creation is the voice. It's the voice of Christ. When you look at creation, it says every day, "The Lord is." It says every day, "God is." The Lord speaks in creation every day. Everything you and I look at, did you look at anything today? When you walked outside, did you look at anything and think of God? Think of Christ, the Creator. It has a voice. We should. There shouldn't be a day that we don't walk out the doors and look at creation and not hear the voice of God. When we hear the birds sing, we should be able to hear the voice of God. Those birds are singing His praise. They're singing His praise. I have no doubt. Now, I know they don't know Him like we do, but they're doing what they were made to do. They're doing what they were made to do. And then He speaks in providence. It says in Psalm 107, verse 25, "For He commandeth and raises the stormy wind which lifts up the waves thereof." That's His. The wind is His, the storm is His, the cold is His. It all has a voice. Listen here in Psalm 148:8. "Fire and hail, snow and vapor, stormy wind," fulfilling His word. Fulfilling His word. You know, the weather that we so often complain about is fulfilling His word. That's what it says. And then, as we looked at here not too long ago, He speaks in chastening. In Micah 6 and verse 9, it says, "The Lord's voice crieth unto the city, and the man of wisdom shall see thy name. Hear ye the rod, and who hath appointed it?" And who has appointed it? Hear it. Hear it. It has a voice. The Lord speaks, and He speaks in chastening. But what He's speaking here especially of is in the gospel. In the gospel, when the gospel is preached, if I'm standing here and I'm preaching the gospel in the power of God's Spirit, it's not me speaking. It's the Lord speaking. He's using this clay pot. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. And God has been pleased to take men like myself, put them in a pulpit, and speak through them to His people. That's how He does it. When the gospel is preached, Jesus Christ is speaking, and He's speaking to us from heaven, not from the grave. He's not in the grave. You know, He said, "The blood of Abel cries to me from the ground." The blood of Christ pleads from heaven. That's where it is. The blood of sprinkling. That's where He is. He's in heaven. He speaks of redemption. He speaks of forgiveness. He speaks of rest. We saw last Sunday. He said, "Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." Did you hear Him speak? That was Him speaking. That was not me. That's Him speaking. I take His word and I turn over to Matthew 11 and I read that to you. That's the Lord's voice. His word is His voice to us. "Come to me, all you that labor heavy laden, I'll give you rest." He speaks of redemption. It's finished. It's finished. When He died on Calvary's tree, He cried, "It's finished. Redemption is finished. He has paid the price. You have been purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. You're a purchased people. You're a purchased people." You know, the church is a people made up of sinners saved by the grace of God, purchased by the blood of Christ. You're not purchased with silver and gold. That's not the currency of heaven. You are purchased by the blood, as Paul says over in the book of Acts, by the blood of God. The blood of God. When the gospel's preached, we hear how God can be a just God and a Savior. How God can have anything to do with a wrench like me. Paul said, "Oh, wretched man that I am." He didn't say that till after God saved him. He wouldn't say that unless God saved him. He wouldn't say that. Paul would not say. He'd choke you to, He would choke to death and go to hell before he'd say that. When the gospel's preached, our Lord is speaking to us. He's speaking to us from heaven of how God the Father, how He can be a just God and save a bunch of wretched people like you and me. That's the truth. Now, when the gospel's preached, when Christ is preached and Christ is speaking, see that you refuse not Him that speaketh. And that it has this meaning. See that you refuse not Him that continually speaks. How long has the gospel been preached here? 40 years? At least 40 years? Rupert was here, I think, 38, something like that. Let's say 40 years.
81 when he came.
Well, about 40 years then. The gospel has been preached here for 40 years. And he's saying here, see that you refuse not Him that speaks. That continually speaks. Christ is continually speaking from heaven to this congregation. To this congregation. You think, well, I wouldn't do that. No, I don't know anyone here that would do that. I was talking to a pastor friend of mine last week, and he said, he was telling me of a family that had been going to the place he pastors for 15, 16, 17 years. He said, one day they just decided to go to the Free Will Baptist. They said they liked it better. He said they'd sit there and listen to Henry preach over those years, him preach over those years, and I've been up there preaching, and other men have been up there preaching the gospel, and these people sat there, said amen, you know, right with you, and now they're gone. Now they're gone. They like the Free Will Baptist down the street better. We are kept by the power of God through faith in Jesus Christ. But listen, the key here is we are kept by the power of God. It's God who keeps us. I cannot keep myself. I know that I've lived long enough now, and I've experienced enough now to know I can't keep myself. Lord, You keep me. Lord, You keep them. You keep the people here. Keep us believing. Keep us believing. Bring us in a way that keeps us looking to You. Now, you know, I know I'd like to have a comfortable life. And we'd like to have things that go real well and just things go real smooth. And I'll tell you how things are to go. Whatever keeps you looking to Jesus Christ. And it'll be a little different for each one of us. God may have to take something from you that He doesn't have to take from me. He may take something else from me that He doesn't have to take from you. And He has to put me through certain trials, and He has to and not put you through, and put you through certain ones He doesn't need to put me through. But I tell you what, I like the fact that my life is designed by God. I love the fact. I love the truth that my life is designed, the path is designed by God Almighty. I like that. See that you refuse not Him, that you do not turn away from Him, because some were turning away here in Hebrews. And He's saying to them, don't you refuse. If you turn back to those old ways, if you go back to those old ceremonies, if you go back to free willism, if you go back to that stuff, you're refusing to hear Him when He speaks of grace and mercy. You're refusing to hear Him. It's just not I like this better than that. It's refusing to hear God. It's refusing to hear God. But how do we refuse to hear Christ when He speaks? Well, it's by not hearing Him. By paying no attention to it. By not paying no attention to the message. giving no attention to it, just letting it go, as the old saying is, through one ear and out the other. Here's another way we refuse Christ when He speaks. Absence from public worship. When we absence ourselves from the worship service. Now, I know there's times that come up and we can't help it. I know that. I understand that. This is, you know, it's the life we live out here. But when we just start staying home, it's refusing to hear Him who speaks. Here's another way. Neglect of Bible reading. Reading the Word of God. When we neglect the Word of God. You know, I feel ashamed. But I'm guilty of this. I mean, I'm guilty of what I'm talking about. You know, at times I stayed home when I should have gone home. I just sat down and said, I just don't feel like going tonight. I'm too tired or too something. I just didn't go. I know that. And I know there have been times I got so caught up when I had the business that I decided to get caught up in it. And I would neglect reading the Word of God. I know that. And I know that's how these things can be done. I know it is. I ought to know. I mean, I have believed the gospel now. Heard and believed the gospel for 40 years. 40 years now. Listen, 40 years. I ought to know this book from Genesis to Revelation backward and forward. I ought to know just each chapter and each book. I ought to. Here's another way. Refusing to believe when you hear it. Refusing. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Put in a question mark on God's Word. And here's another way. And we just looked at this in Matthew 11. Hearing with indifference. He said, we piped and you wouldn't dance. We played the funeral music and you wouldn't mourn. Just absolute indifference. And here's another way. And this one is probably hits closer to home than any of it. Is refusing honest rebuke. It's honest rebuke. When the gospel hits us square between the eyes, when the Word of God hits us square between the eyes, the truth. And it's refusing to deal with it. Refusing to deal with it. Hearing the gospel comes with consequences. You know that? Every time you and I hear it, every time I preach it, every time it comes with consequences. For they escaped not who refused him that spake on earth. Now, whether he's speaking of God when he came down on Mount Sinai, or that was Christ speaking, or they're speaking of Moses. Whichever, he said, he's saying here, you refused him. It was the message they refused. Remember they said to Moses, don't let God speak to us anymore. He said, because they couldn't endure, they could not do the things they heard. We never hear the gospel without consequences. Good or bad. Without consequences. Because His word never returns to Him, He said, void. It always accomplishes the thing, the purpose wherein it was sent. When Israel of old refused to hear the Lord speak, when they refused to keep the commandments, when they refused to hear Him, they died in the wilderness. It says they could not enter in because of unbelief. They didn't believe what they heard. It wasn't mixed with faith. They were religious. They weren't atheists running around out there in the wilderness. They were religious. They believed there is one God. But they didn't know the only God there is. They didn't know, even though they claimed to be His, even though they claimed to know Him. They died in the wilderness because they refused to hear His word when He spoke. Much more shall not we escape if we turn away from Him that speaks from heaven. See, there were a group here in Hebrews. I'm sure there was a group of them, several of them, that were ready to turn back. Turn back. And He said, now listen. You better listen to the Lord as He speaks in the gospel to you. You better listen. Our Lord came down from heaven and spoke the truth. He said, as I hear, I speak. And to refuse to hear Him is certain death. That's what He says. It's certain death. Certain death. And if they died for refusing to hear the Lord speak, then how much more punishment shall they be worthy of who refuse Him now? Who came into this world and spoke to us in person. God came into this world in the flesh, spoke to us in person, and has gone back to heaven, and He's still speaking to us. He's still speaking. Our Lord said this in Mark 4:24. And he said unto them, take heed what you hear. With what measure you meet it, with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you. And unto you that hear shall more be given, but take heed how you hear. Because however you meet it, whatever measure you give to it, it'll be measured back to you. He says here in Hebrews 12:26, whose voice then shook the earth. Oh, what power there is in the Word of God. When God spoke. You know, in creation, back in Genesis, when God spoke, things happened. Creation happened. On Mount Sinai, when God spoke, it says shook the earth. Whose voice then shook the earth? That mountain quaked from the voice of thunder and the voice of words. That mountain just quaked. And they feared. Moses said he feared. He feared. But now He has promised, saying, yet once more, I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. Now this is in reference first to the coming of Christ, whose birth, whose life and death and resurrection shook the earth. It shook things. It shook things up. It shook religion up. Shook those Pharisees up. And what He's making reference to here, I think, is in Haggai chapter 2, verse 6 and 7. Let me read this to you. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once, it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house, He's not talking about the temple, He's talking about the church, with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. When our Lord came, into this world, He shook everything up. He made a man. Herod sent. Look how many of those children were killed because of him at 2 years of age. All that was shaken up. It was removed. He did it in order to remove it. Listen. Verse 27, this word yet once more signifies the removing of those things that are shaken as of things that are made. The Jewish state as it was for years and years and years, thousands of years. The ceremonies, the sacrifices, the priesthood, All of it was shaken up. All of it was removed. That's what he's saying. He removed it all. All of it. You know why? Because it could be. Anything that could be shaken, anything that could be removed, he says it's removed. Or it's going to be removed. That those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Which is his kingdom, which is his priesthood. They can't be removed. They can't. He's a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. That's what it says. His priesthood can't be removed. The Aaronic priesthood was removed because it could be. All that we have in Christ, now listen, wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption cannot be removed. It can't be removed. He's telling them and telling us that old covenant is removed and everything that had anything to do with it is removed. But the things that cannot be removed are the things we have in Jesus Christ. He can't be removed. All that we have in Him can't be removed. That's good news. All blessings, faith. Let me tell you something. Job said, when He has tried me, I will come forth as gold. If you're tried and you leave, you never had faith. What you had was false faith, a false profession. And God removed it. He made it evident. He made it evident it wasn't real. Faith cannot be removed. True repentance cannot be removed. Our adoption cannot be removed. The new birth cannot be removed. And that new covenant of grace, as before the world was, made between the Father and the Son, and us in the Son, cannot be removed. The old covenant was removed. The old covenant of works at Mount Sinai, it's gone. It's gone. But this covenant of grace cannot be shaken. It cannot be shaken. And all that you and I have in Christ can't be shaken. Can't be. Can't be removed. Wherefore, verse 28, we receive in a kingdom which cannot be moved. It doesn't just say removed, it can't be moved. It's solid. It's on the solid rock. The Lord Jesus Christ. It cannot be moved. And that being so, this ought to give us great courage and great comfort. And he says here, that being so, let us have grace whereby we may serve God. God's to be served. How's he to be served? First of all, it takes grace. Apart from grace, you and I would never know God. We wouldn't know him. Apart from grace, we wouldn't want anything to do with him anyway. Apart from grace. Whereby we may serve God acceptably. Acceptably. How do we serve God acceptably? We serve God in Jesus Christ. We serve God in the gospel. We serve God by faith. That's how we serve God acceptably. And then here's another way we do it. With reverence and godly fear. This service starts with grace. And then reverence and godly fear follow it. Awe. Do you stand in awe of God? Do you really? Do I really? Do you really stand in complete awe of the very being of God? Who He is? And godly fear. That's a fear that's born of God. It's of the work of God. It's godly fear. It's not ungodly. It's godly. Godly fear. And don't Don't forget this. For our God is a consuming fire. Does that sound like the preaching that goes on today? It has God like an old grandpa wanting to just want the grandkids to come over today. Just let them come over and stay all day. Just sound like today's preaching has God so weak that I don't know why they even call Him God. It's unbelievable that they would call such a person God. But God is a consuming fire. God is to be feared, listen, for who He is. Who He is. God is still the same as ever. In Christ, in Jesus Christ, we find God who is gracious, God who is merciful, God who is love, God who is a Savior of sinners. Outside of Christ, if you leave Christ, that's what He's telling these Hebrews, if you leave Him and you go back to those old, that old Jewish economy, the old sacrifices and temple, the priesthood, I'm telling you, here's what you're going to meet. You're going to meet God who is a consuming fire. That's the one you're going to meet. It says in Psalm 89:7, God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints. He's to be had in reverence and fear, godly fear. And to be had in reverence of all them that are about Him. Holy respect. A holy awe. Outside of Jesus Christ, I'm telling you, God is a consuming fire. Now, in closing, what He's telling us here is when the gospel is preached, Jesus Christ is speaking from heaven. The message is from above. The message is from God. God has sent us the message. And He's speaking to us through His Son. And when that happens, give great attention to what you heard. Give great attention to it. Let's not let it just slip away. And I know because of the sin in us and our weakness in this flesh that it's so easy to let things just slip away. But try and pray that the Lord would enable you to meditate and think upon these things. To give some thought to them. Give attention to the gospel. Believe it. Believe it every time you hear it. Believe it, listen. Believe it all over again. Believe the gospel. Every time you hear it, just believe it all over again. And He tells us here that all that can be removed will be. Only that which cannot be moved or removed will remain. And that is Jesus Christ and all that we have in Christ. That cannot be removed. That can't be shaken or taken away. And our God is gracious. Our God is merciful. Our God is love. He delights to show mercy. But never forget. Never forget. God also is still a consuming fire. A consuming fire. And not, we're not talking about a little match here. We're not talking about a campfire going here. No, He says a fire that consumes. Absolutely burns up. The message is this. when the gospel is preached, now, give serious attention to it. And don't you refuse him when he speaks. Believe him. Look to him. Call on him. Seek him. Seek to know him more. You know, I think one of the worst things for a pastor is to see somebody leave. That's been around a while and they just leave. It happens. But when the gospel is preached, believe it. Okay, Bill.